Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is William von Holst, who has worked with Imre Valion for the last 25 years. Imre is internationally known as an author and spiritual master, and he has just released his newest book, Planetary Transformation, which contains path-breaking material about the nature and purpose of our existence and the precipice humanity approaches. And while many have written about the changes to come, Valion offers new explanations about the cosmic forces behind the dramatic events predicted to unfold the planet Earth and its inhabitants up to and beyond 2012. So, we're looking forward to discussing this with you, William. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Could I ask you firstly, what attracted you to Imre's work?
I was in Chicago, it was 1986, and my dearest friend who lived up in Canada called me on the telephone and she said, I must come and see this man, he's doing a two-week retreat up in Salmon Arm, and this is a dear, dear friend of mine, and I trusted her very dearly, and she knew what I was searching for, and she knew that that I would connect. So after she hung up on the phone, I booked a flight and went up to Salmon Arm, British Columbia, and met Imre.
Right. I mean, what impressed you about his teachings?
He spoke about it in a way that made it very real. He had an energy about him. There was, in the first few days that I was with him on that two-week retreat, just sitting in his presence, there were huge kind of energy changes in my body, in my awareness, and those things had never happened before. So it was, I just kind of really realized very quickly that this was a person of a very different caliber than all the teachers that I had met prior to that.
Right. Now, you said that you worked with him for this latter period of time. How did you get involved with his work? Were you also helping to give out his teachings?
Yes. I was both in Canada and in America, New Zealand and Europe, helping him on teaching these retreats. The retreats can be anywhere from 2 to 5 weeks, you know, morning, noon, and night. And so he would have a number of people that would help him in continuing meditations and focusing on certain things, and I was one of those people.
Right. So one could safely say, I think, after that length of time, that you seem to have fulfilled or are still fulfilling your spiritual destiny.
What is very unique about Imre is that he's pulling together a group of people, and that group of people has a very specific task on the planet. So what he's doing is that he has incarnated in Europe in 1940, and in 1956 he defected the country as a communist state in Hungary, and he ended up in New Zealand. And at a very early age, I think he was 16, 17 years of age, he had this vision of reaching out to 5 English-speaking countries in the world, one of which was America, Canada, Australia, and England. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he was living in New Zealand at the time, and that was part of it. But he really felt he was reaching out to these 5 English-speaking countries and bringing together a group of people that would do the very kind of work that is in this new book that he's done called Planetary Transformation. And what that vision is that this planet is going through enormous crisis at the moment. Yesterday in Japan, there was an 8.9 earthquake. Some people consider it a 9.0 earthquake. That's unheard of.
Yes.
You know, in every century, there's earthquakes of that magnitude that are maybe 1 or 2 or 3. So this is an enormous earthquake, enormous kind of changes happening on the planet, tsunami waves reaching all the way across from one side of the the earth to the other side. I mean, California is getting hit at the moment with these waves. So these are incredible changes that are happening on the planet. And, you know, if you're astute to what's happening on the planet, you're also aware that things are happening more quickly. You know, Christchurch in New Zealand had a huge earthquake a few weeks ago. So there's a lot of changes happening on the planet. What Emery is saying is that this will increase, not just these earthquakes, but all kinds of planetary changes, volcanoes, you know, weather changes, mm-hmm. Everything is happening. And the reason for that is that there's an enormous number of forces coming into the planet, and many people are not aware of what's happening, so they're kind of getting stuck into a fear mode. And what Emery is saying is that if you understand what is happening and why it is happening, then you're able to do something about it. So what he's been doing for the last 25, 30 years is gathering a group of people together from these five different English-speaking countries, and, of course, has branched out to many, many other people as well, many Europeans and other people as well, to bring together a group of people that can work together on the inner levels and bring in a harmony into that group and begin to create a harmony that moves out from that group and that actually can help Mother Earth, who's going through an enormous crisis at the moment, help her in her transition. Help her in what she's struggling with, all these energies coming in from many different forces as well. Help her, you know, become stabilized within herself so that she doesn't have to express herself in these horrendous earthquakes that she, you know, struggled with yesterday. You know, 8.9 is a huge change of energy in her energy field. So as more and more people can become conscious of this whole transition, it will settle down, if possible, some of these enormous changes that are coming.
Right. Now, where you're talking about a group of people to help Mother Earth in that way, is this the 1,000 people that you mentioned that Imri wants to gather together to do that work?
What are you saying? That if 1,000 people can come together at these inner levels, these 1,000 people can have an enormous impact on the next 20 years.
Right.
And what that means, though, is you have to really understand that at the deeper levels, it's just not 1,000 people who are connected at the same brain kind of mental level, you know, because lots of people want to do good on the planet, lots of people want to help, and that's fine. That's a very positive energy. But what he's talking about is a really deep connection deep within their souls. And when these 1,000 people are connected inwardly within their souls, then they're able to bring, and this is what he talks about too, a expression of the Christ himself can be actually brought down into human beings. Into that real energy can be brought here and now in the 21st century. You know, 2,000 years ago, that Christ energy was brought from a single individual in a single place, in a single time, and worked with a relatively small group of people, and basically just traveled within a small part of the planet. So what's happening today is that same kind of energy field that came 2,000 years ago by that single man is now being expressed by a larger group of people who are connected inwardly to that same energy, and the vision is, the plan is that they will be able to help this whole transition that Earth is going through.
Right. I must say I do believe that it is possible to bring the Christ energy back in that way. Now, what is foreseen as the result of this transition where Mother Earth and indeed ourselves are concerned?
What's the question again?
What is seen as the outcome of the transition of Mother Earth and us as the human civilization? So where is it leading?
Well, the vision is, and this has been spoken about by many different cultures and you know, long, long ago, that there's always been this promise of the golden age.
Yes.
That the golden age is coming. And
right.
What this means, though, is that this golden age is upon us now. Even though we're going through these horrendous changes on the planet, there still is this vision of a golden age manifesting on the planet. And what that means is that the golden age would be any energy vibration on the planet that's completely different than what we experience at the moment. And there's many, many, many different factors that are involved in this golden age coming about. Not just what humanity does, but also there's enormous forces being stepped down from the inner levels. So these enormous forces that are being stepped down from you know, the innermost levels, and then a step down to the next dimension, a step down to the next dimension. What's happening is that it's beginning to step down into the human dimensions. So people are experiencing kind of an increase of energy that they probably don't understand. And this increase of energy is having an impact to extremes almost. And what this means is that this, because this energy is coming down and increasing the velocity, some people are getting very agitated, some people are getting very disturbed, some people are getting angry, some people don't know what to do with it, and so they act out in, you know, crazy ways, of course, that we've witnessed, you know, recently, the, you know, the shooting in Tucson and other kind of very crazy ways. But what also is happening is that increase of energy is also helping people who are just kind of bordering on becoming conscious, bordering on becoming conscious of their soul, their interior energies, so that it's also propelling people into a greater expression and greater connection with their true self. So there's an enormous amount of energy coming into the planet, and these energies, you know, if humanity responds, enough of humanity responds within their hearts and within their souls, can usher in that golden age.
Right. I would guess you would agree possibly that's where people are referring to ascension, that the energies coming in will give that type of upliftment. So would you say that that is an adequate word to describe what is happening?
The ascension, it implies like somehow you transcend and you move away from the physical plane. Mm. What really is this golden age, what that vision really means is that people really become gods and goddesses living on the planet, fully embodying their physical being, so that they become like Christ was. You know, the energy of the Christ, that divine avatar that incarnated, was fully present in his physical body. So what that means, and what this golden age is, you know, in the divine plan, what the golden age is that there are many human beings on the planet who are fully in their physical bodies, in their emotional bodies, in their mental bodies, who are radiating that incredible light and that incredible love. Not descending off, like in the East for the last 6,000 years, the whole tradition is that the physical plane is bad, you know, the emotions are bad, this place is a bad place, so what you do is you abstract yourself. You move away into the inner levels, and you stay on the inner levels, and you're not very helpful. You know, you don't wash the dishes, you don't, you're not engaged in society, you just sit, you know, begging on the street with your little rice bowl as you're completely abstracted into, you know, these inner dimensions. That's not helping the Earth. That's not helping us in this crisis in the next 20 years. So what's necessary is that people fully embody their whole being. And in that embodiment of the being, they also are radiating their divine selves, their true selves, their souls.
Right, so since the forces are described as powerful and potentially destructive. How can people contribute to the idea that the forces can also be used for enlightenment? What would they need to do to be part of that upliftment?
Well, the most important thing is to really understand what's happening. And, you know, Emery is really focusing on communicating, you know, through books and all his speeches that he gives, you know, wherever he is, just that if people understand what's happening, then they're not reacting in a fear mode when, you know, an 8.9 earthquake, you know, strikes, you know, an island across the Pacific. They're certainly very sympathetic, and they certainly, you know, their emotional body goes out to help, but they understand what this whole process is about. And then in that understanding, there's something that's triggered within to help and to, you know, to make a difference in that energy. So what's happening here in California, in Northern California, there are people coming together in groups and working in lifting the vibration, you know, understanding that, you know, we kind of live in a very ordinary vibration. The world has a very ordinary vibration. You know, when you begin to meditate, or you begin to do spiritual work, or you begin to be quiet, you know, sitting on a beach or in the forest, you know, there's a lot of forces that come at you that distract you, that, you know, prevent you from being in a meditative state or prevent you from being in the moment. So what's happening is that people are coming together and realizing the need to work in a group, the need to, you know, to lift their vibrations. And in lifting that vibration in a group, it also impacts the greater community. And a group of people, you know, Emery getting together on, you know, an international retreat with 150 to 200 people working for 2 to 3 weeks, doing an incredible amount of inner work. That inner work radiates around the planet in very mysterious ways and begins to lift the vibration in many, many places.
Right. Now, I understand that in 1982, Imre founded the Foundation for Higher Learning, which is an international organization offering the opportunity to practice spiritual awakening in a group environment, which is what you're referring to, with the goal of self-realization and planetary transformation. Now, what is the goal of self-realization?
Well, self-realization, you know, in very simple terms, it basically means that he refers to it as you become a soul-infused personality. And what that means is that you are fully present in your body, you have your emotional body, you have your mental body, you pay your taxes, you go to work, you have your family, you have your children, you're here in the physical plane doing what you do, but your soul is present within you, which means that your vibrational rate is at a completely different rate than most people, because not only are you paying your taxes and, you know, setting your alarm clock and going to work and all those kinds of things, but you're also radiating this divine light. You are a warrior of light. And a warrior of light is someone that knows how to work with energies within, knows the what's needed at the moment, knows the planetary crisis, and knows how to work with these inner energies to help, you know, as I've been saying before, help Mother Earth through her next, you know, 20 years. Emery is saying that these next 20 years, these next two decades, are the most critical time in the history of the planet. Never before have we had so much energy coming into the planet, and never before have we had such a critical time in terms of possibilities. So what he's saying is essentially in the next 20 years will determine mankind's future for generation after generation after generation. So what we do in this decade and what we do in the next decade, how we respond to these incredible energies coming onto the planet, these enormous changes that will occur, how we respond, how we lift ourselves up, will steer this, you know, the evolution of humanity and the evolution of planet Earth herself in a direction that will impact future generations.
Right. Now, let's say you have a person who is basically very good, compassionate, and wants to do something to raise their levels of consciousness, to find their eternal self, but doesn't know how to go about it. What sort of advice would you give them?
You know, that in other radio interviews, I've been asked a question very, very similar to that, and it's a very powerful question. And what I can say is that there's a journey within, and within that journey within, there are moments where your soul is essentially revealing to you what it's hoping will happen. So what I'm saying is that if a person in that position, a good, compassionate person who wants to go on this path to really connect inwardly, you have to really, really become sensitive to the signs around you. And, you know, it could be a book that falls off a shelf in a bookstore. It could be listening to someone's voice on the radio. It could be a feeling of needing to go left instead of right at some moment. But what I'm saying is that the universe is constantly observing every single person on this planet. And every single person on the planet that is beginning to feel that spiritual pull, the universe will provide the answer for that person. And so you tune in and you listen to that, and then you find how the universe is manifesting and where the universe wants you to go to lead you into a deeper and into that deeper spiritual journey.
Right. I believe you're probably referring to some comments I noted, which stated that when truth is spoken, the universe responds. Are you talking in terms of, say, something like the law of attraction?
Yes, it is a law of attraction, but it's also the kind of a law of equal velocity, meaning that there's a vibration. Everything has a vibration. So when a human being begins to understand of how to lift his vibration, because he's lifting his or her vibration, means that there's a response on the inner levels of that similar vibration. And what that is doing then is that person is no longer kind of isolated by themselves, but all of a sudden beginning to feel this similar vibration, and that the universe actually begins to support that vibration. Another way I've been describing it on these interviews is a way that makes it not quite so abstract, but makes it a little bit more accessible. And that is, if you look at the movie Star Wars, and if you look at the concept of the Force, and you know, may the Force be with you. You know, if you tune into what that is saying, you know, the Luke Skywalker, and he's becoming a Jedi Knight, he's training to become sensitive to a higher vibration, to a higher frequency, and when his vibration increases, the Force itself can help him do what he needs to do. And essentially, that's exactly what Emery is teaching all of us. He's teaching us how to become Jedi Knights. He's teaching us how to lift our vibrations enough so that we become sensitive to the divine force itself, so that the universe can work with us, can work with 1,000 people, and work in doing, you know, the tasks that are needed at that moment. You know, 2,000 years ago, you know, it was one individual that was trying to created the force. You know, a force that the 12 disciples around him were able to kind of move and work with. And what's happening today is that same kind of Well, that force is always present on the planet, always. I mean, it's never gone away and never will go away. It's always present. It's just that so many people are disconnected to it and don't understand that they can actually begin within their inner journey to connect to that force. And in connecting to that force, the force itself will help them do what is needed.
And the full, excuse me, need to cough. I've got a little tickle in my throat there. I've cleared that one. Yes, I think you're referring there to the, how can I express it? Where people are cut off from their real selves, it's what you refer to as the one source. So are you referring there to the creator or God or whatever name people care to use for it?
Well, yes, but what that means, though, is that energy field of the creator is not something out there. It's not something that, you know, like you go to church or something, and it's like it always seems to be so far away. It's way, way out there. What the truth of it is that it actually resides within you. That energy of the Creator Himself, He is within all of us. He is buried deep within every single person's deepest, most level within themselves. So what is, you know, struggling to happen is that people begin to discover that incredible, beautiful energy of the Creator Himself within them, then the Creator can express in real terms with a real person in a real life the beauty of what it means, you know, to be a human being. The, you know, we were designed by the Creator, you know, in His image. Meaning, we're not just a physical body, we're not just an emotional body, we're not just a mental body, but we also have many, many layers within which are immortal, many layers within which express enormous love, which express enormous light. And as we individually connect to those inner levels within ourselves, then we become an expression of the Creator Himself.
Right. Now, I read in that connection that there is advice to retrain the mind to focus upon the inner consciousness of all things. And the first step is to realize your mind is infinitely greater than what you think about. And knowing this is the start of a liberating process. So, what is that process?
The process is that You begin to understand the many dimensions. You begin to understand the dimensions of your mind. You begin to also to understand that when you're referring to your mind, it's not just your rational brain. That's just really a very, very low a low vibration of your true mind. So what you need to do, though, is that you begin to train your rational mind so that your rational mind is no longer the one that's totally in control, but you begin to train your rational mind so that it becomes quiet, that it becomes subservient, and that it can allow a greater mind to come into you, a greater expression of who you are. And you also understand that there's many levels in that mind. You have a subconscious mind, which is referred to as your feminine mind. You have a higher mind above that. Your soul has a mind as well. There's a mind above the soul, and there's many, many minds above that. So what it means is that you begin to put into perspective who you are as a personality, and you begin to still your rational brain, you begin to still your emotional body, and as you begin to still that and connect them, then what happens is that you begin to feel the force itself. You begin to experience your greater self, your true self.
Right. So having said that, you have mentioned in some of the readings that I've looked at that we need to learn to become sharply focused in the moment. Now, what is the benefit of that?
When you become sharply focused in the moment, that, first of all, that's a true warrior of light. And what that means is that you are connected not the way your mind is, not the way your lower brain is perceiving something, not the way your emotional reactive body is perceiving something, but you're connected to, as we said before, you're connected to that force field itself. Mm. And when you're connected to that force field itself, it has, you know, an incredible intelligence. You know, it is an incredible love. It has an incredible joy. It has an incredible bliss. And so you're ultimately in experiencing all that simultaneously. And then when you're needed to respond to something, you respond to it. You do whatever action, whatever is necessary at the moment. And then you return to that inner connectedness.
Right. So having done that, how does it help you in the way that you are no longer a victim of outside events?
Because you're, and that's a really good question, is because you have this incredible inner stability, you have this incredible radiation field that is coming from a completely different dimension than the personality, and coming from a completely different dimension of worldly consciousness. You know, the mass consciousness, you know, kind of the realms of CNN and, you know, Fox News and all that kind of stuff, it has a certain kind of vibrational feel to it. And most people get swayed quite, you know, quite intensely by that kind of mass consciousness.
Yes.
You know, Emery would say, you know, like if you were, unfortunately, you know, in the middle of an earthquake itself, you know, you will, there's enormous energies, you know, the mass consciousness at that moment and the panic and the fear and the horrible things that are happening, you know, if you're not strong within, you will be swamped by that kind of energy. So what he's saying is, as becoming a warrior of light means that your connectedness is to a much deeper level, and so that whatever is happening around you, you're not disconnected. You're very observant of what's happening, but you're responding from a much deeper level within yourself than a normal mass conscious, you know, kind of individual who becomes a victim of the energy that he happens to be within.
Right. I believe Imre said that if you retrain your mind, you will experience life in a whole new way. And you will see yourself and the world as it truly is, infinite, bright and joyous. So is that really the objective of bringing the changes in yourself, is to see things as they really are and not the way you've been conditioned?
Exactly. And the unfortunate thing is that we've been conditioned for 10,000 incarnations. We come from, you know, our soul, this huge, beautiful, you know, conscious being. And then when it, you know, when it's called upon to come down into a physical body again, it contracts. It has to contract. It gets squashed. And as it descends into the physical body, it becomes more and more and more squashed. So it ends up, you know, getting born and then this little, you know, kind of fetus. And what's happening is that this beautiful conscious entity is all suddenly squashed into a teeny little body. And then that teeny little body, you know, you can almost say becomes a victim of the circumstances around him or her, meaning that it's trained from very early ages to perceive the world in a very particular way. You know, you go into an educational system and you're trained to operate everything through your rational brain. You know, you're very rigorously told, you know, to memorize, you know, all kinds of things. So this beautiful soul that got squashed into a physical body, and then it gets trained when we're incarnated into very limited expressions. So what Emery is saying is that we begin to retrain the mind so that it begins to understand these greater dimensions, these very beautiful dimensions within, be able to connect to that, so that you are operating from a completely different perspective than always just kind of filtering everything through your rational brain.
Right. Now, I gather you have conducted courses based on Emery's book, The Magical Mind. What would you consider was the most important message in that particular book?
The Magical Mind?
Yes.
It's a beautiful... I mean, there's 400 pages in The Magical Mind.
Gracious.
It's a very feminine kind of writing, and it has a... It kind of puts you in the mood. It puts you in... You kind of get a feeling of what Emery's talking about. I remember in 1988, I was up in River Lodge. It was a retreat center that we had outside of Edmonton. And basically, Emery gave The Magical Mind every night. He would give quite an extensive lecture, and that eventually became The Magical Mind itself. And it was so interesting because, you know, I was very keen, and I listened to him, and it was 1988, and I really kind of, you know, I really thought I understood, you know, what he was talking about. And it's just been in the last year that I have been conducting a course based on The Magical Mind, and I realized I really, really missed the boat in 1988. There was so much, you know, what he was talking about, I kind of understood in my rational brain, but I did not really understand it at all. So I was quite amazed. It was, you know, what, 22, 23 years later, you know, coming back to material that I was given before, and then, you know, understanding it in a completely different level, understanding it in a completely different, you know, an energy behind it that I missed at the time.
Mm. Do you think that, generally speaking, that people have the capacity to understand books of that nature? I mean, can they really get themselves into it if they haven't, say, had a very good start in spiritual understanding?
They definitely, the books are written in many levels, and, you know, if someone is, you know, if that spiritual seed is beginning to spark inside, you know, if that little seed is beginning to grow, then the impulse will take you into the right direction, and you'll be able to, you know, to read, you know, for instance, some of Emery's books, and really begin to understand, and really begin guided within to what he's doing. He's written a huge volume. It's called Heavens and Hells of the Mind. It's 2,000 pages.
Gracious.
There are four volumes. It's a huge book, and it's so comprehensive in terms of what spirituality is about, what the history of every single religion has been about, not just the history, like intellectual, but in terms of the sacred traditions that was handed down from both, you know, Christianity and Judaism and Buddhism and, you know, many, many other, you know, sacred energies. What he's done is he's brought them to life in the 21st century so that energy is alive today. And has put all that together, both East and West, and also really, you know, reading that book can really steer you into an incredible direction of understanding the science of spirituality.
Mm. Certainly some achievement, because I read that Emery only started writing full-time in 1980, so he must have been a very busy man, I think.
Well, and some of his writings come, of course, from, you know, his own pen, but many of his writings come from when he's teaching, you know, a class of students, when he's teaching on a retreat or
yes,
you know, and so it's coming, you know, spontaneously from within and is responding to the need of the people present. So the writing's not just kind of like a dry, you know, comparing scholarly things this to that, or so many, you know, 20 years said such and such about such and such. The writing's not like that at all. The writing's very present. It's very, there's an energy to it that speaks to you at the moment, and it really responds to understanding the science of spirituality. And what he's saying by the science of spirituality, that spirituality is not just kind of some nebulous, you know, airy-fairy kind of thing, but if you understand it properly, you do something, and these are the results. You intone a particular mantra, this is what will happen. Mm-hmm. You do a particular breath meditation, this is what will happen. So it what he's doing is that he's kind of making spirituality not to be such a, you know, I mean, the New Age, you know, especially in a lot of writings, it's all kind of poofy, you know, angels helping people finding parking spots and things that, you know, are so far from the truth. What Emery is doing is he's infinitely practical. You know, everything that he writes about is for you to become liberated, your soul present within your personality, a soul-infused personality, and very specific, concrete, practical ways to achieve that. And, you know, that can be incredibly powerful.
Yes. Now, you've mentioned about meditation, which I know is a very valuable tool to create harmony and probably higher states of consciousness. So tell our listeners a bit about the book Chants to the Divine Mother.
Oh, the Chants to the Divine Mother is actually music.
Oh, is it? Right,
yes,
I see.
Emery also, there's an enormous amount of chanting that's done within the group. So what that is there's maybe a group of 40 or 50 people have put together various different chants that we do in the group. And what these chants are is that they're mantras in a particular sacred language. They could be Hebrew, Sanskrit, Arabic, Latin. And so Emery has, you know, pulled down from the invisible dimensions a very beautiful mantra which has an energy behind it. And then there's a number of quite talented musicians in the group, and they compose that mantra to music. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that the, you know, we get together in the evening, we're on a retreat, we've been together for 2 weeks, and there's this new mantra that comes through. A musician has composed some very beautiful music. The group, we've never heard this before, and we kind of begin to sing this mantra. And this is an incredible, powerful way of also transforming the planet. You know, when this kind of music that's coming from a truth itself and is being expressed by a number of people who are, you know, expressing that beautiful, you know, feeling behind the music, there's an energy that's created. And that energy is an energy that can have a response on the inner levels, you know, all the, you know, not just the physical plane, but there's many, many beings, you know, very, you know, intelligent, conscious beings that live on the inner dimensions. They hear this music, and they respond to this music. And what they love doing is they love to come in and participate in that music and embellish that music. So when we begin doing a chant, and we could do it for maybe 20 minutes to 40 minutes, whatever, there's an enormous response on the inner level, and these beings come in, and they begin to sing the music as well on the inner levels, and they begin to radiate that energy out, and it has an enormous impact in helping Mother Earth lift her vibration.
Right, so I suppose to state the obvious here, you are talking about a CD called Chants to the Divine Mother.
Correct.
Right. Now, I have had guests who use sound for healing, and I notice that in referring to this CD, you talk about it enabling one to find greater health. So presumably you would recommend that for healing purposes anyway.
The beautiful music, yes, creates health, and what that means, though, is what when listening to that beautiful music or involved in chanting that music, what you're doing is you're beginning to harmonize your various bodies. So you have a physical body, you have a vitality body, which is referred to as the etheric body, You have an astral body, which is in your emotional body, and you also have a mental body. Now, what health means, true health means, is that those bodies are together. They're interconnected. They're harmonized. They're working with kind of one energy field. Normally what happens is that in a human being, those bodies are very disconnected. Your emotions want one thing. Your rational brain is thinking something else. Your physical body, they're all disconnected. So what health means, what true healing means, is that you begin to understand that as you harmonize your various bodies, you become more and more united within yourself. You become more and more conscious of a greater energy field, and you become extremely healthy.
Right. Do I take it that as an overall opinion, you would say that we as human beings have the power to create our own reality?
Very much so. We are enormously... We are, as Emery says, we are a creative hierarchy. In our solar system, we have 12 creative hierarchies. The human race is, as he says, we're considered to be the fourth creative hierarchy. So what that means is that we have enormous forces to create, and we also have enormous forces to destroy. And what we have that, most people wouldn't even think of it, but because we have the power to speak, because we have the power of the voice, because we have the power to sing, that's an enormous creative power. You can look at, to give you an example, look in a very destructive way, look at the incredible power that someone like a Hitler, through his voice, through that quality, had enormous destructive energy. And likewise, someone whose voice is able to really bring people together, really, lift a vibration, that's also an incredibly creative energy.
Right. Now, time, as usual, is flying by. I've got about 6 minutes left, and I would like you to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners where they may acquire the books or the CD. And also, are there any websites that you would recommend people could find out more information about, Emery?
Absolutely. There's two websites. The first one is called soundinglight.com. Sounding Light is the publishing company. So if you are interested in the book Planetary Transformation, or The Heavens and Health of the Mind, or The Magical Mind, you would go to soundinglight.com. Mm-hmm. And there's also a website, and the website is planetary-transformation.org, O-R-G. So it's planetary, a little dash between the two words, transformation.org. And that's a website that is Emery's group. It's all the activities that are happening around the world, gives you an idea of what he's about, who he is, and the various activities that we do around the planet. There's also, on that website, there's a section of different places around the world that are having classes and workshops and all kinds of things that, if you're nearby, you could connect with. And there's also, I think we're coming up with... courses that you can do through the email that I think is in the making. I'm not sure if it's up at this moment or not.
Right. Now, bearing in mind that we are going through a rather dramatic period with the Earth changes, what would your recommendation or message be to people that are concerned about it all?
The simplest thing that I suggest is that they should read. Sorry, I just got a phone call in. That the book Planetary Transformation is a very powerful book because it puts in perspective all these energies that are happening on the planet, and they're energies I haven't even mentioned. There's these huge energies coming from the horizontal plane, and you know, basically our solar system is moving out of a quiet part of the universe and moving into the center, more center part of our universe, center part of our galaxy, center part, and there's enormous energies coming in that we have never experienced before. There's enormous energies coming from the inner levels that I've mentioned. So what this book, Planetary Transformation, gives you a really clear understanding of what's happening on the planet. And in the second half, it also talks some very practical ways of what you can do to help. You know, there's meditation techniques that you can tune into and work with that can help you help yourself.
Right, that's fine. Now, 2012 is mentioned in your writings. What do you see is significant about that time, bearing in mind that you also say the book follows up the period immediately after?
What Emery is saying is that all the hoopla about 2012 is not all that important, in a sense, meaning that it's basically a calendar date. It was a date that, you know, particular cultures, basically their calendar stopped at that date, and there's enormous amount of hoopla about all of that. But he is saying that 2012 is going to come, that date in December, the 21st of December 2012 is going to come and go. Things will, yes, you know, not be all that much different than they are now. But what he is saying that over, you know, the next 20 years, we are in a very intense change. You know, many, many things will be happening on the planet, and that's really the crucial period.
Right. I mean, I wonder in that connection if you have read, as I have, that on that particular date, on the 21st of the 12th, 2012, there is a very powerful energy alignment with the central sun, which is reckoned to give a tremendous upliftment, which is part of our path to ascension. I wondered if you've heard about that, if you feel that that would be an important event on that day, or it's possible.
Well, what's happening, though, is not just that one day. What's happening is that we're moving more and more into that center stream of energy.
Right.
And it's a very kind of slow process. So, I mean, we're feeling the effects today. You know, we're feeling the effects of, you know, these horrendous earthquakes that we've been experiencing. You know, we're moving into a very dynamic part of our galaxy. And
right,
we're getting affected by it. So, you know, 2012 will come. That date in December will come, it will go, and we're still in that center and that incredibly powerful energy, you know, that we've never experienced before. So,
right,
you know, we're in for a rocky road.
I have to say thank you very much, William, for coming onto the program. I've got to take the last couple of minutes to announce next week's guest, who is going to be Swami Kriyananda. And he's regarded as a prolific and internationally author, speaker, accomplished composer, playwright, artist, and a world-renowned spiritual teacher. He refers to himself simply as a humble disciple of the great spiritual leader, Paramhansa Yogananda. So that should be extremely interesting, and I feel very privileged to have him as a guest. So thank you for being with me today. It was a very interesting interview with William, and I do hope you can make it with us next week. Thank you, everybody. God bless you all.